Hello everyone, you're listening to J Movie Talk as I'll be talking 1974's The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's crazy! You gotta make us stop! Please!
Nothing, he's just a cook!
Shut up, you bitch hog!
Leatherface do all the work! He don't like it, ain't that right? You're just a cook!
Shut your mouth! You don't understand nothing.
I understand you ain't nothing. Me and him do all the work.
I just can't take no pleasure in killing.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Finally, I am getting around to actually doing this episode, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It has been a long time that I've been saying I was going to do this episode, but for whatever reason, anytime I announced that I was going to do this episode, I unfortunately could not do it. I remember the first time that I said I was going to review The Texas Chainsaw Massacre was, I think it was last year, around the month of October and everything, and right when it got close to that is when the whole standoff in Dallas, Texas happened with the former soldier, and so yeah, that whole thing happened. I didn't think it was a right thing to kind of do at that time, and then a few times after that I announced, hey, yeah, I'm gonna do the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then for whatever reason, I never actually did it and everything, but I made sure not to announce it this time, and here I am actually doing this episode. So I don't know, maybe me announcing it was kind of the wrong thing to do. Maybe it was a curse or whatnot. I don't know. For anyone who's listened to other shows on the network, primarily anything dealing with TV Zone podcasts, I've made subtle hints that I was going to be kicking off my Halloween thing a lot sooner. I'm gonna start it here in September and go all the way through October, all the way through November, and then so basically you're getting like 2.5 months of nothing but horror films for me in my celebration of October, since it's the third year that I'm actually doing this and everything. So I decided to, you know, kind of extend it out and make it a lot longer or whatnot. So starting with this episode, doing Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then I'll be doing some of the sequels to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Not all of them. I'm just going to do a few of them. Then after that, I kind of pick and choose between movies that I haven't seen that I'll be watching for the first time, and then movies that I have seen but probably haven't seen in a long time. That's probably how I'm going to map this whole thing out for my October Halloween, you know, appreciation coverage that I'll be doing for the next 2.5 months. So before I actually get into talking about the movie, I don't think I'm going to actually go scene by scene for this movie, because I mean the movie is 44 years old at this point, so I'm pretty sure everyone, or you know, pretty much has seen this movie. So a scene by scene, you know, take or whatnot is not something I'm going to do. But before I actually get into it, just kind of mention about Tobe Hooper, the director, who outside of this movie and Poltergeist and a few other movies, I haven't seen like a lot of his films or anything like that. He's a horror legend, icon. Unfortunately he passed away here last year, August of last year, and everything like that. But I wasn't like, he wasn't a big director for me when it came to horror, anything like that. But I do appreciate what he's done for the horror genre and everything. And of course the movies that he's a part of. Of course there's that whole debate whether or not he actually directed Poltergeist, and everything like that. With Steven Spielberg actually directed, I guess we'd never truly know the answer to that. But then also too, there's another movie that he was a part of that he's uncredited as directing it. The movie The Dark, which is a weird type of alien sci-fi movie or whatnot, and anything. But I just wanted to mention about him. So Okay, so getting into Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The movie is known for not really having any name, well, not known for any, but not having any, you know, name stars who really went off to have like great careers or anything like that. For the most part, everyone here are unknowns, which works in the movie's favor, in my opinion. You know, because with that, you don't know who's gonna survive, who's gonna die, and everything like this. When and anyone that you might think is gonna live long to probably don't, and anyone who you think is gonna die off quick, they last longer than they expected. So that's one thing I liked about the movie. It has more like a documentary almost feel to it, with of course the now stereotypical, you know, friends traveling and they take a wrong turn and, you know, they run into, you know, bad things or whatnot. That's what we get here. But back in 1974, this was all new and fresh, and, you know, so it was very, very much, it was very much new, fresh, and just innovative in a way that you don't really have any stars to really root for. It's just these people, you're seeing them. So you have five friends, and everything. And basically what it is, the characters of Franklin and Sally, they go to visit their grandfather's grave, that which had been dug up. And there's a bunch of people around that's witnessing this and everything. And the thing about that scene is kind of weird, because it's almost like everyone knows that this is what goes on in this small town or anything, but everyone just kind of goes along with it and everything, and how that plays out. But after they leave there, they, you know, they get back on the road, and of course they pick up a hitchhiker, and that scene is awkward as hell, but crazy, and kind of basically sets the tone for what's going to happen next and everything. I gotta talk about the hitchhiker, because that's probably the craziest character in this whole movie. He is the craziest. And because Leatherface is not even when you really break it down, Leatherface is not even the scariest character in the movie. He's the one that gets all the notoriety and most publicity and everything, but the hitchhiker has to be the scariest, because he's a hitchhiker. And of course this was back in the 70s when hitchhiking was a thing, so, you know, people, they didn't have a problem, you know, just picking up random people and, hey, where you going? Okay, we'll hop in, we'll take you there, you know, or whatnot. But his character, he picks him up, and just right from the bat, you know, something is off about this dude. But because these people, you know, they're nice young people or whatnot, they decide to pick him up, and of course he starts acting a fool inside the truck, and then, you know, then they have to kick him out of there and everything. And you're thinking, oh, it's the last time. You know, it's almost like Peter Griffin in a chicken fight. Oh, well, you'll never see him again. And, of course, we do see him again and find out that he's a part of the whole, you know, plan of, you know, killing these people and whatnot. He's the first one that you run into, you know, because as it goes on, you run into different ones, some not so assuming of their role, i.e. the cook, and everything. But then, of course, you got your Leatherface and the hitchhiker, and it's not until later on in the movie that you realize that, oh, they're all related, and it's all connected, and that's how they basically do and everything. One thing about this movie, and one character in particular that was always very interesting to me, was the character of Franklin, who, for some reason to me, he looks a lot like Jack Black, and he might be considered the most annoying character in the movie. He's in a wheelchair, and he just complains throughout the whole movie and everything. But one thing that was very interesting about his character, it always made me wonder, like, did he know more about what exactly was going on in regards to, like, Leatherface and the family and everything? He just had that way about him, because there's a couple of scenes in the movie that kind of question, like, okay, did Franklin know more than what? Because he knew about, you know, like the slaughterhouse and everything like that. He seemed to be very knowledgeable when it came to stuff like this. Did he possibly know these people and everything, and or something? not know them personally, but just knew of them, but he just kind of kept quiet, and he probably knew of certain, you know, about disappearances in the area and stuff like this, because there's, like I say, there's certain scenes in the movie that kind of makes you question that about him. But of course, I mean, he does end up meeting his fate at the hands of Leatherface in the movie, and probably one of the craziest scenes where him and Sally's going through the woods and Leatherface just pops up and he, you know, kills him with a chainsaw, even though we don't really see it and everything. Now, the whole thing about the whole farmhouse and how they slowly venture to this house, I mean, the character of Kurt, who you possibly think is like the main character, at least like in the very beginning, you think, if you've seen this for the first time, you thinking that, oh, he's like the main character, he's your lead guy or whatnot, possibly. And he, well, no, Pam, yes, his girlfriend Pam is the first one who goes into the house. Yeah, she goes in, and of course she gets got and everything. And then Kurt, he follows. He ends up going into the house, and he looks around, and probably the most iconic shot is when he, you know, he hears something that sounds like a pig kind of squealing or whatnot, and he trips up the little step or whatnot, and Leatherface, he comes out of nowhere, and this whole, this close-up of him holding up that mallet and just cracking him across the head, and I mean, it's done very fast and very quick, because he falls to the floor and he starts twitching, then he cracks him across the head again. Leatherface, he picks him up, pulls him inside, and then slams the door, and it's like, what the hell did I just see? Who the hell is this big bastard? You know, whatnot. But it's an interesting, I mean, it's not an interesting, but it's very, you know, it's an intense scene, and how it plays out. The tension in the movie does build over the course of time, even though a lot doesn't really happen in the movie, especially in the beginning, because you're just spending time with these people. But then, like, little things slowly start to happen. It's like, okay, these people are in a lot of danger, and they're all starting to be picked off and everything. And yeah, I just have to give Tobe Hooper credit for that, like the tension building. And even the character of Leatherface, when we first meet him, we're like, okay, who the hell is this dude? Why does he have a human mask on his face? What exactly is his deal? And then toward the end of the movie, you realize he's just a part of this. He's not the leader. But once again, I thought it was interesting too, that character that is not really, he's just in it because of his family. I mean, we find out, of course, that Leatherface is somewhat, you know, mentally challenged or whatnot, but he's not the most terrifying character in the movie. When you have the hitchhiker and even the cook, who is a completely different thing of his own, but the character of Leatherface is interesting. The whole thing of where he becomes like a sympathetic figure almost throughout the course of the series in some cases, but for the most part he is a terrifying person, because he does kill people for a living, and he has no problem, you know, taking certain people and taking their face and turning into a human mask or whatnot. But I just thought it was interesting, like, in the very first time that we see him, that he's like this. And I don't know if anyone's ever noticed or whatnot, that he has like different moods based on what he wears. So when he's with the, you know, the whole apron and everything, he's one way, but then he puts on a suit later and it's like, this is more business casual Leatherface. Is like, okay, it's almost like the mask and the suits kind of fit his moods at a certain time or whatnot. And we get that throughout the course of the series, like depending on what he wears and the different facial mask that he has, kind of lets you know what state of mind that he's actually in. So over the course of the movie, of course, for the most part, everyone of the five friends, they get picked off and killed off, and we just left with Sally, played by Marilyn Burns, and everything. And she's basically like your sole survivor, so you find yourself rooting for her to some degree to live, and you're thinking that she's gonna get out of there because she has no problem taking off and running, even though she doesn't know where the hell she's going. She don't know where she at, really, but she finds her way back to the cook at his little gas station that he has. And you're thinking, oh, he's a nice old man, that he's basically going to help her. But no, he actually turns out to be this despicable, mean old bastard who is actually the ringleader of the whole doggone thing. And he ends up taking her back to the farmhouse, and they have her tied to the chair. And probably the most discussed, talked about scene of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre has to be the whole dinner scene with her tied to the chair, and we get all of them together, and it is it's one of the craziest scenes. You have the hitchhiker, of course, hamming it up and being this over the top crazy person. The grandpa, who is like a million years old, he's basically mummified but somehow still alive at this point, is sitting at the head of the table. You have Leatherface on one side, and then the cook, and just the extreme close-ups of Sally's eyes and the manic laughing and sweating, and it's just a bombastic scene. But the one thing that sticks out to me in this scene is how the cook seems to be at war with himself when it comes to what he's doing. Is like there's a side of him that doesn't like what they do, but then there's the other side that is very in love with what they do. He's almost like two-faced in this scene, and it's very subtle, and you probably don't catch it like the first few times that you really watch it. But if you pay attention to his character in this scene, you will see what I'm talking about. And it doesn't get talked about enough, at the fact that he somewhat is at odds with himself and what they're doing. And it's almost like a battle of good and evil within this one character's body, but the evil side actually wins out in the end, because we see him later on in the series, primarily the next part two, where he's full on crazy just like the rest of them. But in this one, he kind of teetotals that line of not really fully being invested with what the family business is or has become. And I really like that, how that plays out. The final chase to this movie, where Sally somehow manages to escape, and she runs out, and she's being chased by the hitchhiker and Leatherface, and they get to the road, and the hitchhiker, he gets ran over by an 18-wheeler, freaking Jack Burton, and the Pork Chop Express basically comes out of nowhere, just smashes onto it. It would have been funny if it was Jack Burton, right? But no, it's actually a big black dude driving the truck. He steamrolls the hell out of him, not on purpose, of course. It's just the hitchhiker doesn't move out of the way for some reason. He just stands there and allows himself to get run over. And the guy, he basically tries to help Sally. Once he sees, you know, here's this like 6'4" dude, Leatherface, you know, with a chainsaw running after her, whatnot. He tries to help her out. He pulls into the truck, and then they end up getting out the other side. Why he didn't just start the truck back up and take off, I have no idea, but I guess it had to play out like this. So they get out the other side. He actually hits Leatherface in the face with a freaking monkey wrench, a huge monkey wrench at that, and Leatherface falls down, cuts into his own leg and everything, gets up limping. The black dude, he takes off and just continues running. I mean, I think this dude probably ran for like probably 60 miles or whatnot. He just ran and never looked back. He didn't even look to see if Sally was all right or whatnot. He just was all for himself and everything. This dude in a pickup truck, he stops. Sally slowly gets in the back of the truck. Leatherface, he barely, narrowly gets her and everything, and the guy drives off. She's hanging on to the back of the truck with this, you know, psychotic laugh as he's chasing after her, and they leave. And Leatherface, he pissed off. He does like this chainsaw dance at the end, and the movie ends like that. And like I say, it's a crazy finale to a movie that has been around for, like I say, 44 years. It's before Halloween. It's before Friday the 13th. And you can kind of see little things that those movies and even other slashers have taken from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because there wasn't any other, you know, horror movies like this back at that time. And if you can watch this movie with the mindset of back in the 70s, you know, look at it through those eyes, even if you weren't born in the 70s, like I wasn't born to the 80s, but if you can look at the movie with that, because it is a slow burner. And I know, like, now with horror movies, you know, everything has to be fast and everyone has to look pretty and everything like that. Well, this movie, everyone gets pretty much dirty, sweaty and dirty and everything. And then, of course, the characters, like, say, Leatherface, the hitchhiker, the cook, and everything are probably the most despicable people that you probably see, because of the fact that they could literally be anybody that you know or have seen. You just don't know what they do in their personal lives or whatnot, with the exception of Leatherface, because he never takes off the mask. But like the cook and the hitchhiker, they could just be some random people that you see on the side of the road somewhere or at a store or something. And but at home, they're like these characters. And I think that's one thing that is intriguing about this movie, is the fact that they're rural people who could be anybody, and this could happen anywhere, like in the middle of nowhere or whatnot. Like I said, I've always been a huge fan of this movie. I don't watch it that much, and everything, but I do watch it quite often or whatnot and everything. Like I say, it's a favorite to watch every now and then. It's not something that you can watch like three times in a row and be like, yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Can't do that. One time and then you put it down, and then you let maybe some months or some, you know, go by, and then you watch it again. But it's not one of those movies that you can watch, you know, over and over, like in the span of a month, and be like, yeah, I truly enjoy this movie or anything. It's not very fast paced or anything like that. The biggest action comes far and in between, and the bulk of it really comes at the end of the movie and everything. But if you haven't seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I mean, what have you been doing? Anything. And I don't mean the remake with Jessica Biel, anything. I'm talking about 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you haven't seen the movie, you should check it out at least at some point, in October, preferably, or whatnot. So this was somewhat of a quick episode. Like I said, I wanted to do this. I didn't want to, you know, really go scene by scene. I probably do that with more of the sequels, especially when I get to part three, because I haven't really seen part three that many times, so I have a lot to probably say in regards to certain things about that movie. But yeah, like I said, I didn't really want to say too much about this one, because it's a 44-year-old movie. I'm pretty much everything that can be said has been said about this movie. So I didn't want to sit here and just kind of go on about the movie, where you can probably listen to any podcast that's covered it and hear that or whatnot. So like I said, I just want to kind of give a few little thoughts and talks about it and everything. And I will be back where I'll be doing one of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequels and everything and like that, so you guys can check out this episode and all the future episodes and past episodes of Movie Talk if you haven't caught up in anything like that. And I will catch you guys next time. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the J Movie Talk podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at J Movie Talk, on Instagram at JMT Podcast, and the TV Zone Podcast Network group on Facebook for all the movie news and podcast updates. Once again, thanks for listening, and tune in next time.